under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
The Florida Georgia Truth Network. The Jacksonville Beaches listen at 91.7. Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion that we have each and every day on current issues, issues that I believe every Christian, every conservative, every patriot ought to be interested in and understand what is taking place around us. As we face the issues, we do so by looking at the issues through the prism of the Word of God. What does God's Word tell us? How should we respond to what we see taking place? What should we do? As Ezekiel said in Ezekiel 33:10, how should we then live? I believe it is a valuable lesson for us to learn, and that is to see what is taking place and recognize the hand of God at work and what God is doing in that process. We do not face issues based on denominational dogma or political rhetoric or philosophical jargon. We look at the issue and try to scrutinize, analyze, and understand with God's wisdom as to what we see taking place. And ladies and gentlemen, we see in the very recent 2 months now where President Trump has been the target of an assassin's bullet with the attempt to take him out. I am concerned, vitally concerned. And the question that I'm asking is today's issue. Is there a mole in the Secret Service of the DHS that's notifying the enemies of Trump as to where he is, what he's doing, and at what point in time? Ladies and gentlemen, the Marxist media appears to be gleeful that President Trump has had two attempted assassinations in just 2 months. I'm concerned when I read articles like this. Headline, both Trump would-be assassins reportedly appeared in BlackRock ads. The statistical likelihood of this being random is impossible. Further in the article, it states, quote, there's some indication that shows both the Butler shooter and yesterday's shooter both appeared in BlackRock television commercials. The statistical likelihood of that being random is impossible. Ladies and gentlemen, are we witnessing an orchestrated event back to back to back? Are we witnessing a full-fledged, open-throated approach to assassinate Donald J. Trump? That's my concern. And we're going to talk about the earlier portion of the broadcast today. If they're successful, what then? But ladies and gentlemen, we need to pray, seek God's face, and ask God to heal our land. As we face the issues, ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at the scripture in John 8:31-32. Jesus says, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. Further in John 17:17, the Bible makes a declaratory statement. Thy word is truth. It's talking about the word of God, the scripture. In Psalms 117:2, the scripture says, the truth of the Lord endures forever. So ladies and gentlemen, truth stands whether people want to listen to it, learn it, understand it, or not. And when we talk about issues, we look at it from the truth book. But there are a lot of folks today that reject the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, the secularist George Orwell, that wrote the dystopian novel entitled 1984, said the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. But truth does matter. Truth makes a difference. You cannot bifurcate truth, have a half-truth. The former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint headline warns that America's decline is linked to the death of truth. In part, this is what DeMint said. What we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real. Yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in our Christian churches. And then the latest survey says this, headline on that survey, most younger Americans say there's no absolute truth. Ladies and gentlemen, if there's no absolute truth, you can take a half-truth, but a half-truth is a whole lie. But this article goes on to say, 55% of the 18 to 35-year-old, we call them millennials, say that each person determines their own version of truth. It's an impossibility. You can listen to what is taking place now, watch what is happening on the Marxist media and the Socialist Marxist Communist Democratic Party and what they're saying. They want to make it appear that Trump and what Trump has said has brought upon himself the assassination attempts. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if there's anything in the world that can be laughable and laughed at in the setting and the context that it's in, would be those statements. And yet that's being repeated, replicated day after day after day on all of the Marxist media networks. We need to go back to truth. It was the 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus that said, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And that's my challenge each and every day. And ladies and gentlemen, Jan Hus, while being burned at the stake, screamed out, truth shall prevail. And I say that today. Regardless of what is being said on the Marxist media, regardless of what the Socialist Marxist Communist Democratic Party is saying, regardless of what Kamala Harris and Joe Biden say, regardless of what multitudes within the U.S. House of Representatives and the Senate that are either total Marxists or they are borderline, regardless of what they say, truth is still going to stand. Truth will be revealed and will prevail. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowners with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291. That's 11291 Old San Augustine Road. There's an identifier, a benchmark. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a gigantic flag, 165-foot flagpole with a gigantic flag atop that flagpole on the campus of Tools for Time. Find that flag in the flagpole, the base of the flagpole, ladies and gentlemen. You'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, lest I forget it, immediately after my brief monologue, our telephone lines will be open. You can dial 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917, and that telephone call goes direct through to the studios, right to our microphone so that we can entertain your questions, comments, dialogue, and discussion on this issue today. Is there a mole in the Secret Service of the DHS for the Trump security team? Ladies and gentlemen, it would appear so, in my most humble opinion. But first of all, before we get to the essence of that, let me simply say this. What if there is a successful attempt on Trump's life? Ponder that for a moment. Let's consider a few possible results if that were to take place. Now listen, I'm not trying to be a fearmonger. I'm not trying to spin a conspiracy theory. I'm talking about the reality of the potentiality. This was brought to my mind when Donald Trump Jr. was talking one of his interviews, he said, "How many lives does my father have? How can he continue to sustain and survive?" That's the question. What if there's an assassin's bullet on the third try, the fourth try, before the election? What will be the results before the inauguration in January? What would be the results? Ladies and gentlemen, Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, I call her Comrade Harris, whichever one is president. Listen, I have information, a couple of articles that state the potentiality and the high probability that before the election, that's about 48 days, 49 days from now, before the election, Joe Biden, as I understand it, is planning on stepping down and letting Kamala Harris become the acting president, the sitting president. But whichever one, ladies and gentlemen, whether it's Joe Biden or Kamala Harris, if there is a horrific attack on Trump's life that is successful, what will take place? I believe, and I've researched the subject, I don't have all of the answers, but I have a lot of questions. I believe that they will immediately declare martial law or some other control factor. And listen very carefully. Martial law means the military comes into play and is in full control. But keep in mind, the one seated in the Oval Office is the commander-in-chief over the military. So either Joe Biden or Kamala Harris will be calling the shots as to what will be done. The election and the swearing-in would be called off. Hear me. There would be no election if it takes place before November the 5th. There would be no inauguration if something like this takes place before the early portion, mid portion of January. The then president could make the decision if and when an election would take place in the future. Hear me. If martial law or some other trigger is pulled in that fashion, where Joe Biden and Kamala Harris is in charge as the executive branch out of the Oval Office, they would have the authority to call off any future election until they deemed it satisfactory. They would have the potential of making the decision if and when an election would take place. Under martial law, ladies and gentlemen, all guns, all ammo, could be declared illegal and could be seized. Now listen carefully. A partial martial law was inaugurated during the major hurricane that went through New Orleans. Houses underwater. But because of martial law or a partial martial law being instituted for that state, governmental authorities, military men, could go house to house and confiscate weapons. They did that. Go back and check the record. They did that. Kamala Harris is already saying that if she is elected, she will have a forced government gun buyback. Well, the government didn't sell them. They can't buy them back. And as one of my sons said, the government couldn't pass the background check to buy a gun. But nevertheless, that's what she's claiming. That if martial law were to be instituted, if there's a success hit on Trump's life and martial law is declared, under martial law, guns and ammo could be declared illegal and taken control of by the guns taken from the citizens. Free citizens would face military control. Ladies and gentlemen, under that type of control, all communication would be censored. We're almost there now. All communication, text messages, email messages, telephone calls, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, would be bifurcated and are totally blocked, censored, totally controlled. Can this happen? Yes. Will it happen? We must pray and ask God to protect Trump so that it won't happen. Let me just read you a few paragraphs from a headline. What is martial law? Who declares martial law? I don't know if you've considered this very serious potential. We talk about Trump's life being in danger. We see that on the front pages of the newspapers and on television. We see the glee and the gleefulness in the hearts and the minds and the lives of the Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democratic Party. We see those that are the Marxist media in the talking heads. I watched several of them yesterday, even after the disgraceful attempt of this shooter to assassinate President Trump. By the way, we'll talk about that further in just a moment. Who was he? How did it take place? What does it connote? Was there a mole? How did he note to stay on the grounds there for 12 hours waiting for a shot? But listen to this article about martial law. When martial law is in effect, it displaces all civilian government with military rule. Military commanders, not elected officials, make the laws. Soldiers, not local police, enforce the laws. And ordinary citizens accused of defying martial law may face military tribunals instead of civilian courts. This article reads, martial law is the temporary substitution of military authority. In the United States, governmental officials have invoked martial law during war, during labor disputes, during natural disasters, remember Katrina in Louisiana, and in times of civil unrest. Notice now, two potential things, natural disasters and civil unrest. Now, further, the article states, when martial law is in effect, military commanders, not elected officials, make the laws. Soldiers, not local police, enforce the laws. Ordinary citizens accused of defying martial law might face military tribunals instead of the civil courts. Since the United States was founded in 1776, governmental officials have declared martial law 68 times. Federal and state authorities are much more likely to request domestic military assistance, which is not the same as martial law, but is a portion. Domestic military assistance supports rather than supplants civilian government. For example, in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina in 2005, federal troops used military helicopters to conduct house-to-house searches and rescue missions that local governments were unable themselves to handle. Historically, state governors are most likely to declare martial law in cities and in counties in their jurisdiction. The federal government's authority to invoke martial law is less settled and has been used very sparingly. Constitutional law scholars say executives who study executive power and the origin of martial law note that the president is the commander-in-chief of the military and therefore has the authority. But federal troops deployed pursuant to the Insurrection Act are a supplement to civil government, not a replacement. President John F. Kennedy invoked the Insurrection Act in 1962 and 63 to send federal troops to Mississippi and Alabama to enforce the civil rights laws in that era. This article further reads, and I quote, "What happens when martial law is in effect? When martial law is in effect, military leaders might impose curfews and media blackouts. Two, commandeer businesses. Three, control hospitals and emergency facilities. Four, require mandatory fingerprinting identification of all citizens. Civilians who commit crimes or violate military orders face military tribunals." I could go on and on, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know about you, but it's a eerie feeling to think of what can happen if a bullet hits Trump and Trump is out of the race, either because of a physical malady or because of death. Now, I don't even like to think that. I don't even like to go through that door. But ladies and gentlemen, we must face the potentiality, the probability. We've got about 48, 46, 49 days before the election. Then there's approximately 45 days between election and inauguration time. And we've already heard Jamie Raskin, one of the key Democratic leaders in the House. And Jamie Raskin is already, you know, by the way, Jamie Raskin was the representative that led the two attempts to impeach President Trump. Jamie Raskin has already said that, listen to me carefully, ladies and gentlemen. Jamie Raskin has already said just within this week that if Trump is elected, that the Democrats will not allow him to be seated because he needs to be treated as an insurrectionist and therefore cannot be seated as president. So, ladies and gentlemen, if that happens and we have civil disobedience breaking out in the streets, and I believe we'll have that, whether he's elected or not. Riots, civil disobedience, etc., in the streets. What will the president, prior to the inauguration, would be either Kamala Harris or Joe Biden? What will they do? How will they respond? Will they call out the hounds of calling Trump an insurrectionist, therefore refused to seat him. And when riots in the streets, civil disobedience takes place, which I believe will be a natural outflow of them refusing to recognize Trump as the elected president. What will take place? The then seated president, Kamala Harris and Joe Biden, would have the authority to declare partial or full, complete national martial law. Not about you, but that should cause chills to go up the spine of any listener. By the way, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Perhaps you have some questions about what I've just said. Perhaps you have something that you would like to say and add to that. Or perhaps today you're just simply listening for information, but you see some things taking place and would like to ask some questions in relationship to it. Ladies and gentlemen, we must pray and pray some more and ask God to divinely intervene, because we need to understand, ladies and gentlemen, the seriousness of where we are in our nation at this very moment. Keep in mind, the Bible says, Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalted the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Ladies and gentlemen, we must ask the question. This is a very serious question. And I have asked this question, and I was absolutely amazed, shocked, and surprised that others are asking the same question. We must ask the question, is there a mole? Is there a leak inside the Secret Service protecting group, protecting President Donald Trump? Is there a mole? Is there a leak inside the DHS? Alejandro Mayorkas, he's the head of the DHS, and the DHS is over the umbrella agency, over the Secret Service. And so, according to Alejandro Mayorkas, he says that he's carrying out exactly what the president said do. Just recent interview. So, ladies and gentlemen, has the president, Joe Biden, given the authority to have someone inside the Trump protection team to leak to the enemy, to leak to the media, to leak to the potential shooter as to where Trump will be and what Trump will be doing? Ladies and gentlemen, the shooter knew, hear me, the shooter knew that Trump would be playing golf on the back six or seven holes on his golf course. It was not on his itinerary. Listen, Trump's golf outing was not on his itinerary. It was not on his calendar. It was not where the general public would know. It's not where it was put out on the news that Trump will be on the back seven of the golf course the next morning. That was not publicized. It was not on his blotter, if you will, that someone could see. It was the only ones that knew what Trump would be doing, where he would be. The only ones, hear me, the only ones, those that would be golfing with him, three or four people that day. And I don't know all of the names. Sean Hannity said he was invited to go, but chose not to go that day. Only the golfers that was going with him and his protecting team, the Secret Service. Those are the only ones that would have known. So who told the assassin? Why did I say someone told the assassin? Simply because he was on the peripheral of the golf course for 12 hours waiting for the time when Trump would arrive. He had an AK-47 with a scope. He could fire, and that AK-47 would be accurate up to about 500 yards. Trump was in about the 300, 400-yard range. And yet we have the socialist Marxist media saying, well, Trump wasn't even in sight. Saying this shooter didn't have his sights on Trump. This shooter was just there, blah, blah, blah. Listen, how do they know this? What causes them to say that? What is the promulgating factor around that? What is it they know that we do not know? Ladies and gentlemen, I'm concerned because of that factor. Here's a headline. Golf course gunman staked out golf course for 12 hours. The new court documents now reveal the shooter, I'm not going to call his name, was perched outside Donald Trump's golf course nearly 12 hours on Sunday before Secret Service shot at him. The article reads the next paragraph. This new information suggests that the shooter was staking out the location and, listen, somehow, some way, had advanced knowledge that the former president would be golfing there on that day, at that time. Read that again. This new information suggests that the shooter was staking out the location and somehow, some way, had advanced knowledge that the former president would be golfing there on that day at that time. So, ladies and gentlemen, how did he know? Is there a snitch inside the Secret Service? It's called a mole. Is there a mole there that's passing the information on? If so, listen, ladies and gentlemen, this is what it connotes. This is the connotation, if that is true. If there is a mole within the Secret Service at the direction of the DHS director, which is carrying out the directions of Joe Biden, that means that the snitch is to notify a would-be shooter. That means that the would-be shooter would be on the payroll and or engaged by the CIA, the FBI, the DHS, or some of the thugs with badges in America. And now you say, well, that wouldn't happen. Ask Robert Fitzgerald Kennedy Jr. Ask Robert Kennedy Jr. if that is potential. Robert Kennedy Jr. says he knows for a fact that the CIA had his uncle, Jack Kennedy, President Kennedy, killed. He knows for a fact that the CIA had his dad killed. And I could go through the litany of those others that I believe have taken place in that way. Our American CIA is responsible for overthrowing leaders around the globe at particular times when they felt that the administrations in those nations need to be changed. They're on the very verge of doing that in Venezuela today. The thug that leads Venezuela, American political leaders say that he's not the legally elected president of Venezuela. So therefore, they have determined that the one that lost the election, and I believe it was a stolen election, I don't question that, but the one that lost the election, the U.S. government is declaring him as the legal head of Venezuela. And yes, I believe there's the high possibility, probability, that somehow, some way, that the president, head, the leader, the thug that heads up Venezuela will eventually be taken out. Don't think that his plane crashed by accident if that happens. Don't think that somehow he fell down a flight of stairs by himself. It'll be because the CIA of America will have taken him out. That is their thugs with badges, how would you say, modus operandi, and it has been for 60 or 70 years. May I say to you, there's a need for us to recognize the danger that looms before us as American citizens. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at a headline. Very ominous. Did Homeland Security alert would-be assassin to Trump's whereabouts? I'll read you two, three brief paragraphs before our news break. President Trump's decision to play golf on Sunday afternoon was spontaneous. Only a handful of people within his inner circle were aware of his movements. So how did the shooter know that the former president was going to be golfing on Sunday? How did he know to set up his sniper's nest in a hole number five, at hole number five, that's golf hole number five, Trump International Golf Club? How was he able to breach the perimeter? These are questions that demand answers. The assassination attempt of former President Donald Trump, and in both cases, there were major security lapses. There's no doubt the rhetoric coming from the Democrats and the mainstream media has created a toxic atmosphere in the nation, going all the way back to 2016. But someone wants President Trump dead. Did someone within the Department of Homeland Security tip off the shooter to the whereabouts of President Donald J. Trump on Sunday for his golfing outing? Now, I've got several other articles from other people asking some of the same questions. So my question is that I want us to you to respond to today. Is it possible that there's a leak, a snitch, implanted in the Secret Service that's watching Trump? Did it come from the Oval Office to the Homeland Security head, right to the Secret Service? I don't know. That's the question today. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back, right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Fulton.